I greet you in the name of God Almighty and in the name of our common ancestors of faith, Abraham and Sarah. For we are from the multitude of nations God promised would come forth from Abraham and Sarah, whether descendants by birth or descendants by faith. We are some of the fruit God promised in God's covenant with them. One tradition of the Lunar New Year is to hold a feast at the end of the New Year celebrations in praise of our ancestors. So today I ask that we include Abraham and Sarah as ancestors we honor. When God made a covenant to Abram and Sarai, God gave them their new names. Abram, which means father of height or exalted father, in Hebrew became Abraham, which means father of many. And Sarai, whose name shares the same roots as the name Israel, means she strives or contentious, just as Israel means struggles with God. Sarai becomes Sarah, which means princess, pointing to the promise that she will become the mother and ruler of nations. And indeed, in the covenant God makes with Abraham and Sarah, God promised that Sarah would bear a child, even in her very old age. Name changes point to significance in the Bible. Jacob becomes Israel. Jesus changes Simon's name to Peter, which means rock. For, as Jesus says, on this rock I will build my church. Saul becomes Paul. And a more mournful name change is Naomi's name change in the book of Ruth. Naomi calls herself Mara, which means bitter, after her husband and sons have died. Many of you who have journeyed to the United States from other countries have also chosen a new name. Elder Fumio Ito, who is our liturgist today, is known in many of the circles he runs in as Mike. Most have chosen a new name out of convenience, more than out of a deep spiritual significance, to accommodate Americans with clumsy tongues who are slow to learn English names. I want to remind you that though it may take several tries, I think most of us in the church are happy to learn your birth name if that is what you prefer. I was talking yesterday to someone who grew up Roman Catholic, and I understand that Catholics, when they get confirmed, are asked to take on a new name, a saint name. The person I was talking to explored all the possibilities in the book of saints she was given when she was heading toward her confirmation. But she was a sassy seventh grader and not sure she even wanted to be confirmed. So the name that jumped out at her with dramatic flourish was Cleopatra. The stern nun informed her that Cleopatra would not be appropriate and made her pick a new name. She settled instead on Claudia. But names do have power and meaning. Zhang Yung Lee says, in East Asian tradition, we do not give a child a name because the name sounds good or familiar to us. When a baby is born, we must give arduous care and thought to naming him or her. It takes a long and serious consultation with relatives and friends, in many instances with professionals too, in order to find the appropriate name. Naming itself is regarded as a sacred event in the family. If a name means righteousness, one who bears that name must be righteous for life. When the name does not substantiate his or her character, the name has to be changed, even in later years. Have any of you noticed, for the past month, the words to the last line of the doxology have changed from praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost to the more gender-inclusive Creator, Christ, and Holy Ghost. Now I know some of you are going to be stubborn, and you're going to sing what you're going to sing. You may say, This is what my ancestors sang. Father was their name for God, and if it was good enough for them, it's good enough for me. But consider, as a spiritual practice, just trying this more expansive version of God's names. For even in the Bible, we find a richness and variety in the names for God, and all of them bear significance. We can go back to our ancestor Abraham, who was told when the Lord appeared to him, "I am God Almighty, walk before me." The Hebrew name El Shaddai, given here, gets translated in our Bible as God Almighty. However, it doesn't actually mean that. A closer reading of the Hebrew would translate as God of the mountains, or even, since the Hebrew word Shaddayim means pair of breasts, God of the breasts. Theologian Valerie Bridgman Davis writes of the significance of this name, given that in this chapter, Sarah's breasts are dry from never having a child. And she and Abraham are about to be promised a prolific progeny, descendants as numerous as the stars. And we do not get to claim them, and we do get to claim them as our ancestors. Though it may be hard to trace our lineage by blood and a family tree, in Jesus we have assurance that we become descendants by faith. When Jesus and Mark asked his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" they tell him of names of ancestors, the recent ancestor John, Jesus' cousin, who was beheaded, and the much earlier ancestors Elijah and the other prophets. But Peter answers Jesus with a new name. "You are the Messiah." Messiah means anointed one, as in a king, for the rite that allowed for kingship was the anointing over the head with oil. Clearly, this is a powerful name, so powerful that Jesus commands Peter to say no more. Jesus goes on to tell the disciples what will happen to him: great suffering, execution, and a resurrection after 3 days. "Take up your cross and follow me," Jesus tells them, as he foreshadows his own death, his execution on a tree. This cross or tree we are left with has become the dominant symbol of what Christianity is about. In a sense, it's become our family tree. But we would be misguided if we were to read this as an encouragement from Jesus to participate in suffering as our path to redemption. Instead, Jesus calls us to bring the crosses that we bear as we follow him, to bring our suffering, to bring our pain, to bring our brokenness, our despair, to bring our experiences of oppression and lament at the world's shortcomings. For these are experiences Jesus has come to know too. These are experiences where God, through Jesus, can work the most transformative power and change these experiences to something new. Give us a new name. During Lent, we explore our human limits. We come to know our hungers. We acknowledge our brokenness. We wrestle with our human frailty and even death, as Jesus did. We recognize the limits of our lives as we grapple with the reality that one day we will die, and we wonder what our legacy will be and what might possibly live beyond our bodies. And we try not to be afraid of it, but the truth is, many of us are. In Lent, we explore the contours of our human limits to stretch and to know their farthest reach. The stretching prepares us for an Easter explosion when the earthly limits as we know them burst open and all is life. Like Abraham and Sarah found, the abundance of God meets the limits of our bodies with generosity. In my ministry, I've heard confessions from a few who have expressed how hard it is to enjoy, let alone even want, sex in older age. That's why Sarah laughed. She said, "Should I have pleasure even in my old age?" But with the abundance of God, we find old people not just having sex, but, as Sarah laughed, having pleasure again. You don't have to be giving birth in your 90s to know this generative power God can bring. It is here in our church, as people who have known the limits of their own tongues, as they've wrestled with languages and cultures unfamiliar from their own, have found a welcome that expands the limits of nation and speaks the language of friendship. As we find brothers, sisters, siblings united in Christ. Think again of the image of a tree. Think of the ancestors of blood and of faith who connect you to your family tree. Think of the scars on that tree. Scars of suffering and loss, of regret and redemption. My friends in faith, you who share with me in the ancestry of Abraham and Sarah, of Jesus, today I tell you, you are the blossoms that will bring forth what God is calling in the fruit God promised in covenant made with our ancestors long ago. Silence, my soul, these trees are prayers. I ask the tree, tell me about God. And it blossomed. Amen.